The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to try in the next little while that I have to speak, I want to look at some of the concepts of Surah Al-Fajr, chapter 89 of the Holy Quran. I'm sure it's a chapter many of us have read. I'm sure many of us have committed this chapter to heart. And I want to see how this chapter actually fits with the revolution of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam. And you know, as we know, all of the chapters of the Quran have their own importance. We can never say that Surah Mulk is more important than Surah Qalam, or that Surah Yasin is more important than Surah Baqarah. They all have value and merit. Obviously, certain chapters and ayat have a special merit. And we have a hadith that tells us, for example, the spiritual power behind certain chapters. And we are encouraged, for example, to read certain chapters. You know, so when we go to a qabristan, for example, we have majlis for the thawab of our marhumin. We would not read Surah Al-Kafirun. Right? It's a chapter of the Quran, but the content of it would not fit with that gathering. And so we have hadith that tell us, for example, recite Surah Al-Mulk at the graveyard, or Surah Yasin. Again, the entire Quran is rahmah, is mercy, but certain chapters have a certain prominence or importance, as ayat do. Ayatul Kursi is a verse of the Quran, just as any other verse of the Quran is, but because Rasulullah gave it particular importance through obviously the teachings of Allah, we memorize Ayatul Kursi, we frame it in our homes, we hang it in our car, we use Ayatul Kursi for protection, and there's nothing wrong with that because these are taught to us by the repository of knowledge, which is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So when it comes to Surah Al-Fajr, here what does Allah say in Surah Al-Fajr? He takes another oath, an oath after an oath after an oath. Then he says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ. And I swear by the night, when it journeys on, when it travels. You know, scholars here, they mention a very fine point about the Quran, which we will never pick up just by reading a translation. And this is why, again, I stress on the fact that Quran needs to be understood not only through translation, but commentary. Unfortunately, we don't have a full commentary in English that you could even recommend to the believers to read. There are things that are underway, but they will take years to complete. Even Al-Mizan is only one half complete, the publication of it. It'll still take maybe 5 to 8 years for the printing and distribution to be finished. But even when that comes out, that would have been a tafsir which was written 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Albeit, it'll still be some value, but it's 50-year-old research, basically. But you look at this, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ, the night as it travels forth. Allah is using a very subtle allusion here. He's actually explaining or describing the night as moving forth as human beings walk, as we travel, as we traverse. You know, when we speak in English, I'll say, I went from here to there. I went from Richmond to, I don't know, North Van. I went from here to another destination. But you won't say time went from here to there, right? Time doesn't move in that way. Time does progress, and there's an entire philosophical discussion on what is time. But I won't say time moved from Vancouver to North Van or to Vancouver Island. No, time is time. Day and night don't travel, right? We think, oh, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It travels. But it's not traveling on a journey, because we're on earth. We look at it, at these celestial bodies, and we think them to move in that method. But Allah here says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَّرَ, that the night is traveling. It's going through its stages. Right? Allah has taken this personification of the night. He's giving night a human quality of it traveling. Again, we know that night doesn't travel. But the ultimate destination, as our scholars say, when they look at Al-Fajr and its relation to Abu Abdullah, is that spiritual journey on the night of Ashura. You know, when we hear in the masaib of our scholars who ascend the minbar about the tent of the Banu Hashim on Shab-e Ashura, and they would go to Abu Abdullah and ask him, will we also be killed? As young Qasim would ask his uncle. And his uncle would turn to him and say, oh my dear son, how do you find death? كَيْفَ الْمَوْتَ indak. And this young boy would say, أَحْلَى مِنَ الْأَصَلِ, sweeter than honey. Or the other tent of the companions where they are in ruku all night, or sajda all night, or reading Quran all night, or in du'as all night. And when Bibi Zainab alayhi salam asks Abu Abdullah, can you trust your companions? Maybe these are like the companions of the Prophet, some of them that unfortunately deserted Rasulullah. And when the companions heard that there was this questioning of their integrity, as we know, people like Habib, the 90-year-old Habib ibn Madahir, and people like Muslim ibn Awsaja, people would come out and say what? They would say, even if we were to be killed, cut into pieces, our body burnt and thrown, ashes thrown into the wind, and this would happen 100 times, wallah, we would never leave you, Abu Abdullah. These kinds of men were traveling on that night, not a physical journey, but spiritually they're making that sojourn, that travel, that journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're making that spiritual migration towards Allah on a night of the 10th of Muharram. So this is one of the examples we have in Surah Al-Fajr of the night of Ashura, this night that is moving. It's obviously standing still, but it's moving in a certain way. And obviously just like the companions were moving towards Allah, that should have also been our goal and should be our goal even tonight, is as we move through these days till the day of Arba'een, that just as the caravan of Ahlul Bayt moved from Karbala to Kufa, Kufa to Sham, Sham all the way back to Karbala, that we also continue in that journey, in that quest for Allah, in that quest for recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for the beauty in everything that comes up in our lives, looking for beauty in the tragedies, and looking for beauty in the pleasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. But just to leave us with one point here before I go to the end, is that it's not only about these qasams, about the night and the fajr and the ten and the odd and the even. Allah gives us, and we'll look at that inshallah next time, but Allah gives us stories of 3 different communities, of the people of Ad, of Thamud, and Fir'aun. And the fact that they spread corruption on the earth, the fact that they were responsible for creating diversion from Allah, that they were more preoccupied with their own power, solidifying and consolidating power in themselves. Fir'aun, whom as we all know in the Quran, claimed to be the Rabb, the Lord. People like Ad, the tribes or the nation of Ad, who came 5 or 6 generations after Prophet Noah alayhi salam, the Thamud. Allah gives them, and we'll look at that next time, that Allah gives us very descriptive examples of them in the Quran. And again, when you and I try and tie this in together to Karbala, we have examples. We have the Banu Umayyah, first and foremost, people who were, as Allah says, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. They continuously engaged in corruption. It wasn't just Yazid la'anatullah alayhi that began this train of corruption that Abu Abdullah had to take that stand on the day of Ashura. It was all of those that came before him. We confessed that in the ziyarat of Ashura that we recite, that it was those people who began the process of removing Ali Muhammad from their status that they had. Allati rattabakumu Allahu fiha, that status Allah had given to them that was removed or stripped away from them. And it continued. And what we saw on the 10th of Muharram, brothers and sisters, was one angle One aspect of the oppression that had been meted out to Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam from the very first day of the split in humanity.
We say you live forever in our hearts and in our minds.
Oh, we say you live forever
in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, unto my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
Swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.